Welcome to the History Reviewed channel, where we analyze the lies and deceptions of history. The video that you're about to see is a special little video that I made for an event that took place in May 2021. It had to do with a presentation that I made to some Dutch people live online. And what I did was I prepared this beforehand so that I could try to give these people some additional background and additional thoughts. But even though I did this for a special Dutch audience, the message therein is really aimed at whites in the Western world. But I tried to aim it at people who live in a liberal society. The first place that I ever went to outside of Africa was to the Netherlands in 2003. This was the first time that I ever set foot outside of Africa. And I went there for 2 or 3 days for a special conference. And since it was my very first time outside of Africa, it was a very educational thing, just like my trips to America and Canada have been educational, but this being the very first time that I ever set foot outside of Africa, it was already the beginning of other changes and realizations that I had. You see, the Dutch are known for their liberalism in Europe. They're known for their liberalism, for their free speech, for their openness to all kinds of ideas. And it was also said that the Dutch were degenerate in a sense because they had things like brothels and drugs were freely available, etc., etc. So my very first trip outside of Africa was to Amsterdam. And when I went to Amsterdam, I already had this idea that these Dutch are not impressive people at all, that you're dealing with these degenerate whites. And at the time it was said that Amsterdam had the highest crime rate in all of Europe. So there I went off to Amsterdam for 2 days, and I've still got the photos and everything about it. I've just never done a video about it, but I went off to Amsterdam for 2 days. And I wasn't expecting to see anything impressive. Even though at the time I was still in my European frame of mind, that I look up to European society, that I look up to what whites have done everywhere, I'm very impressed by Western civilization. But I had heard so many negative stories about the Netherlands in particular, and Amsterdam specifically. So I go there and I'm curious, but my viewpoint of these people is that these are not very clever people at all. These are degenerate whites. So I go there, and when I get to the hotel, etc., I go outside and I go for a walk down the road towards the railway station. And one of the first sights I see in Amsterdam is I actually walk past this black guy and this very beautiful white girl. And I hear the black guy say to the white girl, "Kiss me." So already I'm thinking, well, this is not so good. But anyway, I'm in another country. I'm in a Western country. Let me look around. And I'm not going to go into all the details of my observations, but just quickly, I ran into their internet cafes, discovered all these Nigerians using these internet cafes. I later spoke to a Dutch lady, and the Dutch like to cycle a lot. These people cycle tremendously. And it's actually a fascinating institution of the Netherlands. And these people actually are very healthy, and they're actually in good shape, actually. And while I'm there, at a point I speak to a Dutch lady because the Dutch have got their bicycles and they leave their bicycles at various places. And I ask about crime and stuff. And then she said, well, the Nigerians steal our bicycles. But anyway, in my 2 days in between the conference, I walked around Amsterdam quite a lot. And I began to form my first opinions, my first first-hand opinions of whites outside of Africa. And these are whites that I came there with low expectations. I came expecting to meet whites who are basically kind of retarded and idiotic and degenerate, and they do all kinds of stupid, dumb things. At that point, I had a much higher view of the Germans, the French, etc. in Europe. But the Dutch in particular, I had a low opinion of them. However, that was to change, and I'll explain. But I must also tell you a little story. So here I am in Amsterdam, and on another day, I decide I'm going to go for a walk, and I go out of the hotel, and I start walking down the road in another direction. But make no mistake, I'm starting to see things, and I'm starting to form opinions, and I'm keen to look around, but don't think that I'm in love with Africa. I know that this is a Western country. It's just that I'd heard a lot of bad things about the Dutch. Nevertheless, I was very happy to be out of Africa for the first time ever in my life. So I'm thinking to myself, you know, I'm probably, say, 15,000 kilometers away from Africa. I've come at least halfway around the world in order to be away from Africa. So I'm looking forward to seeing whites, even though I've heard many bad things about them. I'm looking forward to seeing whites, and I'm going to make the most of every minute to assess them and to form opinions about them. So as I go out of the hotel, I head off in a different direction, and I'm walking down the road, and the next thing is a black suddenly appears on my right-hand side. Suddenly a black walks up to me from the right-hand side, and the black starts begging. And in that instant, I was totally unprepared for it. It was the last thing I'd expected to see, and it was the last thing I wanted to see. In my mind, in that instant, I thought to myself, I've come from the other side of the earth, and I do not want to see these people. And here's this black suddenly out of nowhere coming up to the right-hand side of me, and he starts begging. Well, I just turned around, looked at him, and I just said to him, fuck off. And I said it to him in that way. And when I did, you would have sworn I'd hit him in the face. He recoiled in horror. He'd obviously not been spoken to like that before. And he recoiled in horror and he retreated away. And I turned round and I carried on walking. So that black didn't know it, but of all the people that he chose to come and beg from, was a white colonial from Africa. And judging by his reaction, he obviously had never been treated like that in that country. And as I was to discover, especially when I went to America on both my trips to America, as I was to discover, whites treat these blacks so freaking well. Whites are so cordial to these people who totally do not deserve this, okay? But anyway, that was that was my incident, and at that point, I didn't want to see a black from Africa, and it annoyed the living hell out of me that I'd come to the other side of the earth and here is a black, and there he is already, busy begging like they do in Africa. And I had no intention of dealing with him. But in the ensuing days that I was there, and I want to tell you another thing about the time that I was there, I arrived there literally as the United States was invading Iraq. That was the big news item. So as I was arriving for this conference, on radio and TV, they had these things of the opening days of the war in Iraq. The Americans were invading Iraq. So during this conference, which had nothing to do with politics, it had to do with my previous weirdness and the things that I'd written about previously. During this conference, there was a point where this Dutch guy got on the stage and he decided to just discuss a little bit about this invasion of Iraq, which, like I say, had nothing to do with the conference. But this Dutch guy began to talk, and I could see he's coming from his liberal Dutch angle. And it was while this Dutch guy was talking that I began to form the opinion, and I said to myself, these people may be liberal, but they are not stupid. It was then that I realized that you can be a liberal, but you don't need to be an idiot. And these people are not stupid. I could see from his reasoning and the way that he was thinking that I was looking at an intelligent human being. He is liberal because of what he's been taught and told and his experience of life. But he's not a stupid person. In fact, far from it. And that was the beginning of how I began to see the Dutch in a more positive light. The most negative thing about them was the fact that you could go and get drugs and buy cannabis or whatever in the shops in Amsterdam. But other than that, you couldn't really fault them. And in fact, later, I had my first experience of their efficiency, that top-notch, normal white efficiency. At the time when I flew there, there was a electronic ticket system. The people who sponsored my trip had obtained a electronic ticket for me. And when I had to use this in South Africa, it was something that was unknown in South Africa. So the travel agent then printed a real ticket, let's call it a physical ticket. And I went to Holland using this physical ticket. But while I was in Holland, when I arrived there, one of the Dutch ladies who I dealt with when I got into the country, she said to me that there's a problem with this ticket and that I won't be able to leave Holland. Something along those lines. Anyway, and she said to me, just hold on a second, I'll fix it for you quickly. And she went and she got onto her computer and she did a bunch of things. And the next thing was, I'm not sure if she gave me a new ticket or whatever it was, but problem solved in a couple of minutes. And she said, here it is, you won't have a problem when you leave. And she'd done all this of her own initiative. I wouldn't have known. I would have run into problems later. And that was also another first experience that showed me, yeah, you know, this is a normal, efficient country. The whites know what they're doing. Here were the people in South Africa telling me they'd sorted things out. Meanwhile, it hadn't been sorted out. It was only half sorted out. And as I walked around Amsterdam, I began to see things. I loved seeing the history. I loved seeing the canals. I was absolutely fascinated by the canals, by the boats, and I saw people also doing other things there by a palace, and I enjoyed that. And as we had dinner with people and we talked to people, the hotel was absolutely first class, everything was perfect, It was also my first experience of central heating. You know, that it can be really cold outside, but everywhere inside it's really nice. I was really impressed. I liked it. And then we would have dinner after the conference late in the evening. We'd be talking until midnight. And then I'd notice that there would be white women who would say, "Well, you know, it's time to go. I got to go home. I'm going to go and catch the train. I have to walk down the road to the railway station." And these women would be leaving to go and walk to the railway station after midnight. And I would think to myself, "But hold on. They said this is the most dangerous city in Europe. This is the most crime-ridden, dangerous city in Europe. And here's a woman who's going to walk alone down that long road to the station after midnight. It really can't be that dangerous. If this is the most dangerous, degenerate city in Europe, then it really can't be that dangerous. It can't be that crime-ridden. Because no white woman would be able to do that in Johannesburg or even Pretoria in South Africa. It would not be possible. You just wouldn't do it." So then that was another takeaway. This is the worst city. So hold on a second. You're telling me this is the worst and most crime-ridden city in the entire whole of Europe? Well, it isn't so dangerous at all. This is nothing. This is nothing like South Africa. This is absolutely nothing like South Africa. If this is the worst that Europe has to offer, then hell, I'd like to see what the rest of Europe is like, because this is nothing. Now, of course, in South Africa, the Afrikaans speakers, especially the Boers, these people are partly of Dutch descent. They are 40% Dutch, 40% German, 20% French and other European. That is their DNA. So I had heard continuously that these people in Holland, whom we are related to, are rather degenerate and stupid. But once I went there and I looked around and I walked around and I saw them at work and doing various things and their shops and things, I walked away with a totally different viewpoint. I realized, look at this airport. This airport, Schiphol, is one of the busiest airports in Europe. And these people have got enormous ports. And as I looked around at these Dutch, I walked away with a much more positive view of these people. It was my first time outside Africa, and I'd gone to a place that everybody had said is degenerate. And I walked away and I thought, no, look at these people. They cycle. They are healthy. You don't see fat people around. Look at them. This place is pretty cool. And if you walk in the city, it's history. You are seeing buildings that are hundreds of years old at the very least. And I pondered those canals. I was thinking, man, these white people were building canals hundreds of years ago, and this was a method of moving heavy loads. Nobody in Africa builds canals. And I'm going to stop there because there's much more that I can say about Holland and about Europe. But this was my first real visit outside of Africa, and it's the only time I ever set foot in any part of Europe ever. And I walked away thinking, well, if this is the worst of Europe, then the rest must be freaking awesome. Later on, as I dug into science, etc., I must tell you, I came to realize that there are a lot of very clever Dutch scientists, I must tell you, and the science and the technology of the Dutch is not to be laughed at, my friend. There's some world-class shit going on there, and these are people that we are related to. And when I look at the Dutch, then I say to myself, man, That's impressive. And these people have pulled off many feats. Now, among their feats that they've pulled off, I've not even discussed the whole thing of how they reclaimed land from the sea. Again, topics like these are topics that have never been discussed in Africa. Things like canals, reclaiming land from the sea. Later on, when I learned more about the Germans, the turning of marshes into viable farmland. Again, things that are never, never done in Africa. All kinds of things that are never done in Africa. And while I was there in Holland, there was quite a bit of sunshine. And at first, when I arrived, it was rather cloudy and misty. And I thought, this isn't so cool. And then somebody said, ah, it's a nice day. And I'm like, really? You think this is a nice day? This is rather misty, cloudy day. And then while I was there, there was quite a bit of sunshine. And people said, you've arrived during the best weather we've had. And then just the night before I left, it was quite cold and windy and so on. And then I thought to myself, these people live in a cold, miserable place that is nothing like the wonderful climate of Africa. And look at how they're managing to function. I've been here at the best of the best time that I could be here. But this place obviously has got really nasty weather and a really nasty climate. And yet they're able to function. And of course, other parts of Europe also have nasty weather, etc. But these were my first impressions. And when I walked away from there, it was my first red pill that, you know what? If they say that people are screwed up, that those people are not anywhere close to being as screwed up as they would have you believe. And when I went to America in 2010, I was also expecting degeneracy, etc., and I was amazingly surprised there, even more surprised there. And that just added to my proof that unless I've actually set foot in a country and looked around, I won't really know what it's like. And later, when I headed off to Canada, people said, oh, Canada's totally fucked. You won't be able to do anything in Canada. And I walked away with lots of positive impressions of Canada. And so from those few travels of mine, I was able to see, you know what, white people everywhere, they're okay, man. The only thing that's wrong with them is the extent to which they've been lied to. They've been lied to on a massive scale. There are things they've just not been told, and they've just not experienced it firsthand themselves. That's all. And that's what this little presentation is about. This is for whites everywhere outside of Africa who've been inundated with all this junk thinking and liberal thinking and thinking that diversity is wonderful. So this is a quick jump around in this little video where I look at a bunch of different points, some of which I've never touched on in my videos before, but various points that I want to bring to the attention of whites in the Western world, especially in the Northern Hemisphere. Start looking at some of these points. There's much more that I can say, but start looking at these points. You've been lied to, you've been misled, and you need to be aware of various things. And don't believe what liberals and Jews are telling you. They're lying to you, they are misleading you. They are pushing you down a path that's a nasty path. And of course, these days, after all my discussions and my travels and my experiences, nowadays I just look on whites as being, we're all okay. The only thing that's been wrong is all this liberalism, all this liberal Jewish bullshit, all these Jewish lies. that have taken hold of everybody everywhere. That whites are actually fine, and we're all actually virtually identical. And the only problem that we have is that we've been misled about science, about history, and about many, many, many things. So this was just a quick little thing that is 48 minutes long, and it's to give you an idea of what I thought I should tell an audience who are not properly aware of the lies they've been told. And they need to start looking at other things, and they need to be made aware of other facts. So here's the little video. Enjoy. Welcome to the History Reviewed channel, where we analyze the lies and deceptions of history. Welcome to our Dutch brethren. It's really an honor to have a chance to speak to you. And I thought I'd start by actually putting a bunch of things in perspective, because whites in many ways don't realize the power that they have and what they are capable of doing and what they have done. My own view is that as a direct result of World War II, even World War I as well, that whites have ended up in a really bad situation where the greatness that used to be Europe is gone. And whites are now stuck in their corner of the world, whereas we are a people who went out and conquered and settled much of the world. And our race, coming from Europe, has done so many awesome things. And in discussing this, I'll also be able to put the whites of South Africa in a perspective that you will begin to grasp. Now, the majority of the whites of South Africa are themselves descendants of the Dutch. In fact, genetic studies of the Boers have shown that the Boers are 40% Dutch, 40% German, 20% French and other. But let me show you, let's start by looking at this tiny little country called the Netherlands. The Jews want Europeans to believe that they are nobodies. They would like all whites to believe that we're losers, that we're equal to everybody, and that we really are nothing. So, there's our map of Europe and tiny little Netherlands, a almost little nobody country sitting in Europe. Not quite. You people did kick ass at various points in our history, but let's take tiny little Holland and put it in perspective. At your greatest, you had an empire across the world. And here on the southern tip of Africa, this is where some of your brethren came and did some colonization and fighting, and this is where I am. And we will get back to South Africa. But once upon a time, you people, despite your small country, despite your little corner of the world, you ran a chunk of territory across the world that was much greater than you. And so did other Europeans. Everybody had an empire, and those empires controlled most of the world. Now you might think, due to all liberal junk, Jewish garbage thinking, You might think that the world has changed and that in actual fact, whites are now nobodies, blacks are astronauts and scientists, and you know, Jews are geniuses in every field known to man, and that the world has passed Europe by, and that Europe is nobody, whites are nobody, and we're all doomed to die. Well, let me tell you, this is just a Jewish house of cards. It's just a load of Jewish garbage. And the reality is that a lot of the world situation has not really changed. We have been fooled, especially since World War II. We've been fooled into thinking that whites are nobodies, that whites everywhere are nobodies. But this is not true. And I'm going to show you. And I'm going to show you by way of our experiences in Africa, what happens when you've got a couple of whites in Africa and you've got an enormous continent and there are vast numbers of people there. I want to show you a few things. Let us take tiny little Holland and compare it with the most populous black country in Africa, Nigeria. So, the population of Holland is 17 million, just over 17 million. The population of Nigeria is 200 million. A massive, massive difference. In land area, you can see that Nigeria is massive compared to Holland. Now, Nigeria is in West Africa and it's got lots of its own resources. It's got lots of benefits which the Netherlands doesn't have. You people in the Netherlands, you even had to go and reclaim land out of the sea because you had so little land. Nigerians never had to do that. You people suffer like the rest of the Europeans and most whites. You suffer from the nasty climate of the region. You have harsh winters. You've got tough weather. Nigeria doesn't have that. These blacks live in a place that is green all year round, has rainfall much of the time. And they've got oil literally coming out of the soil, coming out of the sea. These people, if there were 200 million whites, if there were 200 million whites living in this territory, this place would be a superpower. It would be. Because people are not equal. You've been lied to and told that people are equal, but that's just garbage that. I'm telling you, if we put 200 million whites into Nigeria, it would be stronger than Germany and France put together. It would easily be, if its population was 200 million whites. But let's compare you, 17 million whites of the Netherlands against 200 million of these blacks. And these black people have also lived there a long time. They've also had a chance to develop, but they never really went anywhere. So here's a comparison of Holland versus Nigeria in land area. So you can see the vast difference. Plus, it's a place that's got lots of water, lots of soil, lots of vegetation. You can live fantastically in Nigeria if you are interested in making some kind of effort or if you are able to make some kind of effort. So let's look at some statistics. Here on this map is the population of the Netherlands. here from 1962 to 2010. Here is the population of Nigeria. It was almost 50 million back in 1962, and by 2010, it was 160 million. It's now more than 10 times the population of the Netherlands. More than 10 times the population, and vastly larger than the Netherlands, with everything going for it. But how does it turn out to be financially? And I'm using financial measures because that's about the only measure we have these days in this pathetic liberal world. But there really should be other measures that are more accurate. But let's go with economics and money as a simple measure of the nation's output as a whole. So, this is the bottom line here, blue. This is Nigeria's GDP. This is its GDP per capita, per person. And you can see that it's not really gone up much in many decades, despite the massively increasing population. Population's shooting through the roof, but GDP per person, the productivity per person isn't that much. Compare that to the Netherlands. Look at the Netherlands. Population might have remained the same, but the GDP per person has gone up. In fact, it's increased more than fourfold since the 1980s. Now let's look at the gross national income of Nigeria versus the Netherlands. So we've seen that the Netherlands' population doesn't go up much, but the productivity of the people per person is constantly increasing. In the case of Nigeria, the only reason their GDP is increasing is because the babies are popping out like crazy. That's all. That's the only thing. So here you have a country with 200 million people. So the only reason that Nigeria's GDP is going up is because the babies are popping out like crazy. The productivity is not going up, but the babies are becoming more. And Holland doesn't really have children. Doesn't have more children, but the productivity per person is going up. So Nigeria has got more than 10 times the number of people of Holland. And even though it's got more than 10 times the population, its GDP is only about half of that of Holland. One of the things I'll tell you that is the only real weakness of all whites is the lack of children. We have a lack of children these days which we didn't have in the past. Whether we were the Vikings or the Romans or anybody else, we never had a problem with children and having children. That is our only big weakness. But in all other respects, we're fine. These people don't buy into the nonsense that these people are somehow disadvantaged by life, that somehow things were so rotten for them that they just never got a chance in life. That is rubbish. That is total rubbish, and that is something we can look at in terms of history and in terms of Africa. And I'll show you a few other things in this little presentation to just show you a couple of things. But be aware of this. In Europe, you might feel that you're just yet another small country in Europe. But compare yourself to the most populous country in Africa. And please, for God's sake, don't believe the junk that these blacks are living in a place where it's so hard to live, where it's so difficult to survive, where it is such a mammoth task in order to survive. No, they live in a situation that is far, far superior and better to the nasty place that you live in. And don't be fooled, don't be conned by Jews, liberals, leftists, and assorted rubbish. If you lived in Nigeria, you would be a superpower. Let me tell you something. If 17 million whites from Europe could come and live in Africa, that country that you live in would be the superpower of Africa. And in the case of South Africa, that's been done before. And we were a superpower when we had 5 million whites here. Not 17 million, 5 million. Don't listen to Jewish liberal crap. They've been lying to you for freaking decades, just as they've been lying to all other whites. So, we whites, we don't appreciate our own history. And when you start studying the history or the almost non-existent history of the others, then with time you'll begin to realize just how much we've achieved. Don't knock yourselves, those of you who are in Europe, by thinking that the end has come, that there is no future for us. I'm going to show you some other things. Let's take a look at Africa in its perspective. Here you can see a map of Africa and you'll see how utterly enormous it is. The United States can fit inside it, India, Argentina, all of Western Europe can easily fit inside Africa, China can fit in Africa. This will give you an idea of the size of this continent. And yet, this entire continent was taken over by Europeans in no time at all. One of the greatest pieces of real estate in the world was taken over by Europeans in virtually the blink of an eye, as if it was nothing. And furthermore, this continent is wealthy beyond all imagination. In terms of land area, rivers, vegetation, farming potential, as well as mineral wealth that is unmatched on the planet. And we've not even explored and looked for everything that could exist. More recently, they've been discovering more and more oil off the coast of Africa, gas, etc. There is so much wealth in Africa, you cannot believe it. And you people in Western Europe, you struggle to get resources, etc. And all of it is here in Africa, in the hands of idiots and fools. Now, this is the southern tip of Africa, and this will show you a couple of things, briefly. Europeans and Dutch came to South Africa, but what they don't tell you is that blacks also came and colonized into Africa. Blacks were colonists too. And in actual fact, when the original whites came to the southern tip of Africa, there were no blacks. There were no blacks. There were just some Khoi and Bushmen who are not the blacks that you associate with Africa. The dark-skinned people, the pitch-black people that you associate with Africa, they actually come from up there in West Africa where Nigeria is. They themselves are colonists, and they themselves have moved down through Africa over the last 2,000 years. Can you believe that whites who came to the southern tip of Africa and began to expand here inside South Africa, these Dutch settlers, etc., who began to expand, do you know that for more than 170 years, they never saw a black person? I repeat that. For more than 170 years, they never saw a black person. They only had these other little remnants who are not black. They are another kind of a race. They're like the Bushmen, etc. They are a different kind of a people. They were the only people that existed here in the Cape. The dark-skinned black people came down through Africa, and the whites and the blacks met somewhere here in the Eastern Cape at the Great Fish River. That was the first time that blacks and whites met each other. The whites were going northwards and eastwards, and the blacks were coming down. They too are colonizers, and we beat them to some chunks of territory before they got there. So here is a map of South Africa as at 1750. The Dutch here in the south of South Africa and various other black tribes, as these tribes are slowly moving down, and they end up meeting somewhere around about here. So Africa, southern Africa, was not colonized by blacks for millions of years. That's total rubbish. Total rubbish. And do you know that up here in Angola, the Portuguese got to Angola even before the Dutch. In total, the Portuguese stayed in Angola for 500 years. They were in Angola before the Dutch were in South Africa and before whites went to North America. That little area there is the longest standing piece of white territory in southern Africa. And again, people have forgotten their history. Now let's take a look at whites coming to Africa and then losing Africa. Whites started colonizing Africa in 1885. And this is how they began taking it over. By 1910, in other words, in the space of 20 years, Europeans colonized and controlled and ruled the greatest piece of territory on earth. And it took them barely over 20 years. The only problem was that thanks to Jews and Jews creating communism, that this communism came later to destroy the European empires. This communism was being destroyed by Adolf Hitler when Hitler and the Soviet Union ended up in a war together. And what they don't tell you about Hitler and the Soviet Union is that the Soviets were going to invade Germany, but Hitler struck them first. Hitler hit them about 2 weeks before they invaded Germany. Yet again, another fact of history being left out. But these Soviet communists, Bolsheviks, who were ruled by Jews, and the whole setup had been invented by Jews, these people decided in the 1920s that they were going to destroy the European empires. Ironically, the British Empire, which had been one of their allies, was at the top of their list to be destroyed. And so the thing that you know as the liberation of Africa, this was actually driven largely by communists. Communist agitators were at work in Africa, in Asia, in South America, in Latin America, as the Soviets, pumped up by the stupid Americans and British during World War II, with additional technology, etc., etc., they went on an offensive to destroy the European empires. So here you can see the map of Africa, and by 1970, you can see that much of Africa was no longer under white rule. However, you'll see that South Africa during this time was independent, but it was independent under white rule. So you can see in 1950, it was just Ethiopia, and then by 1958, a couple more. By 1970, most of Africa was now independent, except for these countries here, where you had the Portuguese in Angola and Mozambique. You had South Africa controlling Southwest Africa, now known as Namibia, and you had the Rhodesian Rebellion. And this is where I come from. I come from there. And by 1988, most every portion of Africa had been lost. So the only thing that's kind of confusing is the fact that South Africa is always independent, but actually at all these times it was under white rule. But the bottom line is that Europe just seized Africa in its totality without hardly missing a beat. One of the greatest instances of conquest ever. But the weakness was that the number of whites in Africa was not much. And the greatest concentration of whites in Africa was always in southern Africa, especially South Africa. And if you take a look here, this will give you an idea of the population density of Africa. And that is where Nigeria is. Very densely populated. These places are like living in heaven on earth. To live in these places is to live like you are living in heaven. It's like a Garden of Eden, most of Africa. Tons of rainfall, warm climate, life is wonderful, and even lazy people can survive. But you also get the lazy people who cannot survive and who then claim that life is hard here. But no, it's not hard, as whites will tell you. Any whites who've lived in Africa will tell you. So this is just another view of the partition of Africa between 1885 and 1914. So in the space of 30 years, Europe seized all of this, except for South Africa, which had already been taken over centuries before. But you can see, look at what the French controlled. Look at what Belgium controlled. Look at what Portugal controlled. Portugal is not even a wealthy country. Portugal is a much weaker and poorer country than the Netherlands, yet they controlled these enormous territories. So this is what Africa looks like nowadays on the map. But now I want to show you, yet again, an example of the power of whites, but seen from another angle. So you've seen how enormous Africa is, and you've seen the large populations of Africa, but the concentration of whites that existed in Africa is here in southern Africa. You had the Portuguese, the Rhodesians, who are basically mostly of British stock, and then you had Namibia, which used to be German Southwest Africa, which was controlled by South Africa. So you had these five white-controlled countries in southern Africa where the whites decided that they weren't going to hand over power to blacks. So the stupid Jewish-controlled British, gave away much of Africa, and the rest of Africa fell like dominoes. The Belgians were chased out of what is now the Belgian Congo. There were far too few Belgians there for the big population of blacks. You had about 100,000 Belgians with 11 million blacks. So they were vastly, vastly outnumbered. They were probably outnumbered about 100 to 1. So it's no surprise that the Belgians were killed and were chased out of the Congo. Outnumbered 100 to 1, that is, those are rather heavy odds, even for whites. But these other places, the whites fought back. Even places with small populations, like Rhodesia had a population of 250,000 whites. Mozambique at its peak had 300,000 whites. Angola at its peak had 600,000 whites. But South Africa had 5 million. And the concentration here in South Africa is the greatest concentration. So now I want to show you what happens when a couple of white countries fight against all of Africa. Here is a map that you won't see. Here is the map that you will almost never get any idea about. In this case, take a look at Africa. And in this case, it's showing you the OAU, which later became the African Union. But if you take the green and the yellow, these are all the black countries that form a collective union known in the past as the Organization of African Union. Then the nations that fought against them are these two purple territories, that's the Portuguese, the South Africans, and the Rhodesians. So those five territories basically opposed black rule and basically had enemies composed of all the rest of Africa. All of these states together wanted to destroy the handful of white. So all these territories, the yellow and green, they assisted, aided, etc., the blacks to rebel against the whites in these five territories. Even so, it took them decades and decades to defeat the whites, even though all these whites hardly had any help from anywhere else in the world. So that'll just give you an idea yet again that when whites are in control of something and whites do their own thing, even when they rule blacks and they control things, that whites have the ability to pack a big punch. That it doesn't matter that you've got all of these countries against you, that even tiny numbers of whites here can hold them back for decades and decades. Now, South Africa itself is also not small. Here you can see if South Africa were placed inside America, what a big territory it is. And the current population of South Africa is 4.6 million. But not too long ago, the population was 5 million and the whites dominated this entire territory. The blacks could hardly move. And this will just give you some idea of some of the riches of South Africa, all the mines. And as you can see, there is minerals and mining all over, especially up here in this portion of the country where Johannesburg and Pretoria are. It's a very wealthy country, very, very wealthy. The mineral wealth remaining in the ground in South Africa is estimated at $53 trillion. I repeat that within about the last 5 years, it was known that the value of the minerals in the ground here is $53 trillion. Just sit and ponder that. The unbelievable wealth that lies here. So that is Rhodesia, where I come from, now known as Zimbabwe. A total multicultural failure. Just to show you a little bit about Rhodesia, here is a photo from about the 1970s, and this is Salisbury, the capital of Rhodesia. And you can see it looks rather European, doesn't it? And that's just a simple example of the work of the whites in Africa. We brought our civilization and our methods here. Here's a name that you may know quite well. Nelson Mandela, otherwise regarded as a god or a saint in the rest of the stupid world. But Mandela is a troublemaker, a communist, and he was assisted by Jews. His buddies were Jews. He worked for Jews. He actually started out as a black attorney working for Jews, and then he ended up becoming a communist terrorist. And there is a bunch of links there as to how he ended up doing that. And Jews played a bigger role in these wars against the whites than you realize. So here's a quote from Mandela. "I have found Jews to be more broad-minded than most whites on issues of race and politics, perhaps because they themselves have historically been victims of prejudice." Vastly overstated, I might add. But anyway, a quote from him. And Mandela was no man of peace. Here he was associated with another Jew from South Africa, Joe Slovo. There you can see the Soviet Union, the Soviet flag. And they were busy with armed resistance against the whites. And he was no man of peace. He was no saint. Here is the current president of South Africa. And there's one of his best buddies. This is the chief rabbi of South Africa. If you look carefully here, you'll see that this door says Office of the Chief Rabbi of South Africa. The chief rabbi of South Africa is big buddies, personal friends with this guy who's our current president. He's also a communist. He's also a billionaire. I personally am convinced that this black converted to Judaism. I'm personally convinced that this black converted to Judaism, and he did so round about 10 years ago. But that's another story. I just want to address very quickly the issue that the blacks are at a disadvantage, that the blacks never got a chance, that the blacks are in the state that they are because of other problems. Let's consider what happened to the blacks in World War I and World War II. Well, nothing. In fact, the world wars benefited blacks in Africa because in certain cases, various countries, except for the time when the Italians invaded Ethiopia and North Africa, but in many other cases, the Allies made use of black territories and actually built some infrastructure in black countries. The blacks did not suffer negatively from World War II. But how did it go for the whites? Well, take a look at these photos of Dresden and Berlin in Germany. The Germans were flattened to the ground. Just look at these cities. Absolute rubble, most of them. And you now have to go and fix that rubble, get the rubble out, and build from scratch because you can't fix those buildings. So this is what Germany looked like at the end of World War II. Absolute nightmare. So the Germans and large chunks of Europe were smashed and battered into the ground at the end of World War II. Yet, in 75 years, the Europeans have built themselves up, including the totally, totally shattered Germans, have built themselves up from the bottom, and they are rocking and rolling with some of the most advanced societies on Earth, and very possibly the most advanced science and technology on Earth. And they did it in 75 years. It's much like the colonization of Africa, where a handful of whites came, and in a very short space of time, they built infrastructure that had never existed in Africa, and Africa began to function. All over Africa, things began to work because whites came and they brought their infrastructure with them and built it. And used the blacks also to build it. But the fact is, whites controlled and planned and oversaw and did lots and lots of dangerous work, make no mistake. The bottom line is that whites can get things done and they get results, even when their continent has been shattered into the ground, being overrun by armies of the British Empire, America, Russia, everybody smashing Europe to pieces, and yet the Europeans are back on top. The Europeans are rocking and rolling on a continent that was shattered and broken 75 years ago. The blacks weren't shattered and broken 75 years ago. The blacks have been assisted all along. And they get assistance and all kinds of assistance to this day. Assistance which nobody else would get in the world, I might add. And I just want to show you this tragic picture. This is a lady, a German lady in Dresden, died in the firebombing. This is what whites do to whites. This is what white people have done to white people. White people have never done this to black people, though blacks have tried to do some nasty things to whites, I might add. And they will tell you, these liberals and Jews who are talking to you in Europe, they're lying to you. They're lying to you. Oh, no, you see, we're all the same. We're just the human race. By the way, just that statement that we're all one human race, that is a scientific lie. Scientific lie. I'm not going to go into it now, but it is a scientific lie. The way that humans are classified is a time when science does not operate according to the rules of science. Science deliberately misclassifies human species. They do not treat humans the same as they treat animals. If they did, there'd be several species of humans. Species of humans, not even races. So here's a little bit of an idea that the lie, a very common lie, they tell you, oh no, you know, we're all one and race is only skin deep. No, it isn't skin deep. Look at these photos of albinos of different races, and you can still tell which one is which. Why? Because it's not skin deep, because it has to do with your features, your body structure. You can tell the difference between races because it's more than skin deep. So what is the problem with Africa? Well, here's a map of the world, and in this map, notice how Africa is totally different to the rest of the world. It stands out glaringly compared to the rest of the world. Look at Africa. And what is the difference? Well, this map is a map of intelligence. This map is a map of human intelligence. And do you see? Africa is very different to the rest of the world. Whereas the IQ of North America and Europe is in the region of 100 and maybe even more than 100 in some cases, we see that Africa, is down here. Look at it, IQ 70, even 65. Do you know that the dumbest human being on the planet was found in Botswana? It was a bushman, and his IQ was something like 39. I didn't even know it was possible to have a human that stupid. But here is something about Africa that's completely different to the rest of the planet. The problems of Africa are not to do with the soil or the climate or anything to do with the physical state of Africa. The problem is a human problem. And those humans, by the way, are now pouring into the rest of the Western world, especially into Europe. So you've got a problem people, a people with known failures heading in your direction. And let me show you another little map. So here we've got IQ on the left, and here on the right is a map of human skin color distribution. And what do you see in common between these? The only thing that's a bit weird is they've classified Australia as as brown and black, which I don't really think is the majority. But here you can see, here's Africa, here is the IQ, here is the skin color. You should see there's a strong correlation here between those two things. This stuff is more than skin deep. Don't listen to the garbage that they're telling you that people are the same. No, they are not the same. People are not the same. You've got somebody lying to you who's busy trying to trick you and busy stealing your country and your continent right from under your feet. They are lying to you in order that you let people in whom you would normally not even want anywhere close by. These are my websites, historyreview.com, africancrisis.info, and white-shop.biz. This is my attempt to try and do some Jew-free trading and experimenting with the next level of stuff. So, thank you very much for listening. We'll be chatting again soon. Take care of yourself.